Hey guys, and welcome back to the Mom Bear Podcast. I'm your host, Mary Susan McConnell, and I am so pumped that you have joined me today. This is a place for women who are raising kids with special needs of any age, any diagnosis, to get together and just chat about our lives. I think it's so important for us to share our stories, and my hope is that you will feel the relief of connection. Today's episode is called Daily Life with a Child Who is Medically Fragile, and I had the absolute honor and joy of speaking with my incredible guest today about what her world looks like. And Stephanie Wolf is one powerful, intelligent, strong, joyful woman. She happens to be the mom to two beautiful kids, and her firstborn, Addie, had a story that they were not expecting. And when Addie was born, she was immediately taken to the NICU, and she lived in the hospital for most of 10 full months. Stephanie quit her job, she was a teacher, to be beside Addie every single day. We're not only going to talk about that season of being in the hospital, but then we're going to talk about what life looks like after that. What did it look like going home as new parents to a child who has a trach? What do target runs look like when your child has oxygen tanks and ventilators? Stephanie was so generous with her time. She lives in Waco, Texas. And if you are thinking fixer upper, you are not alone. That's what I was thinking. And we talk about Magnolia a little bit at the end. Also, there may be a few moments where you hear a little distortion and you might grab your headphones. Don't worry about grabbing your headphones because it is the cell phone service between my tiny town in Tennessee and Waco, Texas. That's what was going on. And sometimes that's just what happens. So, guys, prepare yourself to hear one powerful story. I do want to say that there was one thing that Stephanie did not mention in the interview, and I asked if I could mention it at the end, and she said, absolutely. So stick around to the end, and you'll hear me talk about that very important thing going on in their lives after the interview ends. Thank you so much for being here, guys. I can't tell you how much your ratings and your reviews mean to me. Truly, truly, truly. Okay, here we go. Hi, Stephanie. Can you hear me okay?
I can.
I cannot tell you how excited I am to have you on the show. I have been following your story on Instagram for, I was trying to figure out exactly how long. I know it's been a year. It feels like a lot longer than that. But to be able to speak with you and kind of pick your brain about your life, I'm just so thrilled. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you for coming on.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. When I heard about your podcast, I just couldn't help but want to reach out. I think it is so incredible what you're doing, and I had to just be a part of it. So thank you so, so much for having me on.
Well, thank you. It is a total dream to be able to talk to you. I have just brewed it for people listening. It is 7:11 p.m. on a Monday night, and I just brewed a huge pot of coffee, and I'm sitting here freshly caffeinated. I'm so excited to just hear all about your story. So part of what I wanted to do today was talk about just the details of daily life with a child who would be considered medically fragile, because there's so many moms out there who are sitting in hospitals or getting news that they can't wrap their minds around. And part of it is just knowing, how am I going to do the grocery store? How am I going to do a babysitter? What's my life going to look like? I know for me, that was one of my biggest questions when AB came home. And it's still my biggest question. I'm always asking people, how are you doing this? How do you do that? Because I always want to learn. And it's kind of like peeking into the behind the scenes of people's lives. But before we get into the daily schedule and routine and how you do your life, take us back to the very beginning with Addie.
Oh, okay. Very beginning. That was roughly about 4 years ago. And I was a first year teacher when I discovered that I was pregnant, January of 2014. And it wasn't until I hit 20 weeks, it was a little bit before Easter that we went in for a, you know, routine sonogram to, you know, you go in to see what the gender is. That's like the whole reason why everybody gets so excited about 20 weeks. And our appointment was going so well. And, you know, we have just picked out names. Like, if it's a boy, we're going to have this name. If it's a girl, we're going to have this name. The appointment was going so great. They told us it was a girl. We were elated. Mm-hmm. We were so, so thrilled. And then moments later, the tech started acting really weird. And then we kind of were like, is something wrong? And he just said, well, I'm not allowed to say anything right now. I'm just allowed to, you know, take measurements and check on everything. But you can talk with the doctor afterward. And we're like, does not sound good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, of course, this moment that is supposed to be such a happy moment for first-time parents turned into something completely devastating. And it was terrifying, you know. It was just the two of us. It's not like we had family there to support us to find out this, you know, terrible piece of information. But we went into the doctor's office, and he told us that our daughter was having some kind of abnormality. He wasn't sure what it was. It looked like what he called a teratoma, which is basically a type of tumor on her bottom. And they called it a sacrococcygeal teratoma, which is a huge mouthful. It just means it's on her sacrum, on her bottom, and it's a teratoma. It's a tumor. We had no idea what that meant. He told us he wanted us to go see a maternal fetal medicine doctor. And we would need to get an amniocentesis and all of these different things. And our worlds were completely shattered. I just remember just leaving the doctor's office sobbing. And it was horrible. And, you know, then of course we called our parents. We weren't going to quite yet tell them what we were having. We were supposed to have a, you know, gender reveal party. They're the big thing now. And so I remember calling my parents and calling my husband's parents and crying on the phone to them saying, there's something wrong with our baby. It was just terrifying. So after that, we went to the maternal fetal medicine doctor, had an amniocentesis, and had no idea what that entailed. I found out very quickly it entailed a very large needle, needing to stay extremely still. Yes, and there were tons of risks, you know. And so we had this amnio done. And a couple weeks later, the doctor called me and said, well, your baby does have something, and we need you to go to Texas Children's in Houston to learn more. And Texas Children's is one of the leading hospitals for extremely rare cases of different things. So, of course, that didn't make us feel any better. so we went to Texas Children's in Houston and ended up having a MRI, which was very interesting because I had to stay still and they needed the baby to stay still. Yes. And so then we had talks with a doctor about officially having this sacrococcygeal teratoma, that they were going to monitor the baby. And if things got worse, our baby would need fetal surgery. Yes. I mean, all of these things. And it was just terrifying as new parents to hear this. I ended up acquiring a type of liver condition while pregnant called cholestasis, which basically means that my liver was attacking me. And I had enzymes that could really damage the baby and her health. So, so they told me because of this cholestasis, I would have to deliver our baby by 37 weeks, or she could possibly die in utero.
Oh my gosh.
Yes, there's a high chance of stillbornness. Of course, now that I know my Addie, she never does anything the way you plan. And she decided to come at 35 and a half weeks because I had high blood pressure as well. It was so scary because I remember laying in the OR getting ready. They had to have my husband stand out of the OR for a little while until they prepped. And I was just laying there, unsure of what a C-section would feel like and how our day would go, knowing that our daughter was going to have to go straight into the NICU. We were aware that they were going to have her go to the NICU. They told us initially probably 4 to 6 weeks that she would need surgery on her teratoma to remove it, and then we would be good. So I was planned a little bit for that. What I wasn't planning on was when she was born, she wasn't breathing.
Oh, gosh.
So, yeah, that's the big thing. Like, when your baby is born, you hear this big wail, and we heard nothing. And they had barely brought my husband in right before. I mean, she was already almost like half out, I think he said, when they let him in. So, of course, we're panicking, and she's not breathing. There's a whole NICU team in there, and they just swoop her up, and they take her. And my husband left me while I was in the OR to go be with the baby.
Wow, yeah.
So the emotions were just crazy.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and he went with her and took pictures of her and everything, and she needed to be on oxygen initially. And so it was just crazy. And once I was able to recover, I went to go see her in the NICU, and I heard her cry, and I recorded it on my phone. Just, I thought, she's being so cute. And the doctor was kind of messing with her. And it was the one and only time I've ever heard her cry. And I'm so thankful that.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I'm so thankful God told me to record her at that time.
Wow.
Yeah. Shortly after she was intubated. And we had several failed extubations, which were horrible and completely traumatizing on my part.
Oh, I imagine.
Yeah, trying to watch your baby gasp for air and turn blue is not pleasant. Yeah. But she ended up being in the NICU for 6 months. She had several surgeries. She had a heart surgery initially at a few days old.
Wow.
She had trach surgery because she had been intubated for 3 months, and they told us she would need a trach. And as much as I fought it, we ended up realizing that that was the best decision for her. And she got a trach. Typically with a trach child, you get a G button at the same time. And so she got that. And then we also found out that she had hydrocephalus. So she had a bilateral craniotomy. So basically they went in both sides of her head and just did some work.
Oh my gosh.
All of those surgeries. We also had a trip to Texas Children's for 9 days around Christmas time. And after 6 months in the NICU, they finally felt like she was capable of coming home. And we were so excited. I cleaned the house like crazy, got everything ready. Addie came home for 6 days and was in respiratory distress the entire time. We didn't really know it. We had a nursing company that we had hired out, obviously, to help with her care. And they showed up for 50% of the shifts.
Oh, no.
So we were extremely sleep deprived and had no idea how to really care for this medically fragile child. And at one point, she would just cry and scream because she couldn't breathe and it was bothering her so much. And we had no idea that I ended up having to call 911 and we ended up in the PICU for 4 more months.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. And so she came home at about 10 months old.
Oh.
Officially, and has been home since. And wow. So now she is 3 and a half. And she'll be 4 in August.
Oh my gosh.
Whirlwind, right?
I'm feeling the lump in my throat. In the 10 months, where were you living?
So we were living in Waco, which is in Texas. And Addie was staying in the hospital in Temple, which is a good 30, 40 minutes away. There's constant construction on I-35. It's kind of the running joke in Texas that it will never get finished. dealing with traffic and wrecks. And we basically call it a death trap, is where we drove through every single day. I would wake up every morning, 7 in the morning, get to her by 8, and we would start our day. My husband worked in Waco, and he worked at a job where he would put in about 15 to 18 hour days.
Oh, wow.
So he would get up before the sun, go to work, stay until it was dark, drive all the way to the hospital to see Addie, would basically be falling asleep in his chair, poor guy. And he'd be there for maybe 30 minutes and then we'd have to go home and eat dinner at like 9 o'clock at night.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Oh,
my gosh.
And start the whole thing over the next day.
During that time, when you're spending just every single day at the hospital with her, did you feel supported?
At times I did. I felt supported by the staff, for sure, of the hospital. The nurses were such big teachers to me. They really taught me about advocating for my child and that sometimes the doctors wouldn't say things and that I should ask for specific things. The nurses would say, like, I really think you should ask about this.
Mm-hmm.
And so I felt really supported by the staff there. And then, of course, our family is so, so great. Our in-laws would come as much as they could several times a week to visit Addie and us. And my parents, even though they lived 5 hours away, if Addie had a surgery or if something happened to Addie, they would haul it all the way up here and be with us. So it was great. We had support with some friends. Some friends didn't ever come and visit us in the NICU, and it was hurtful. Friends that we thought were really close to us. And and then we had some friends that were great and would visit and would send cards or bring Addie a book or, you know, whatever. So we really felt the whole spectrum of support and those that I think people didn't support us. I think it's just because they didn't know how.
Right.
Or they knew that we were busy and they didn't want to step on our toes. So I really don't think it was intentional. It's just they had no idea. I mean, your first of your friends is having a baby and their baby has special needs. What do you do about that?
Right.
You know?
Right. So you come home at 10 months and at that point, does nursing come back to the house? How does your kind of daily life pick up from there?
Yeah, so we switched nursing companies.
Thank God. Yeah.
Yeah, once we got back to the hospital, we said, we are switching companies, which is kind of funny. The initial company, their representative, had come to the hospital after we came back. And when I told the guy that we were switching companies, he was like, I think you're making an emotional decision. And I'm like, yes, I am.
For a very good reason.
Yeah, this is my child.
Right.
That was kind of interesting. He clearly didn't get it. But the company that we did go with, we loved them. And actually, the nurse that was there the first time to meet us in the hospital, she is Addie's night nurse now and is our favorite of all the nurses. She is fantastic. Shout out to Cindy.
Cindy.
But we realized that life is so precious. And our biggest goal, even when Addie was in the hospital, is wherever Addie is, we want her to feel like it's home. And we want her to feel as normal as possible, whatever normal means.
Right. Right.
And I think that is something that has resonated a lot with our blog readers, just because we do take Addie out. We love taking her to the zoo when we can. If we want to brave Target, we'll brave Target. sometimes we'll go out of town with her. That has been interesting at times, just because there's so many logistics with a kid on a trach and a ventilator and needing oxygen.
That's so encouraging, though, to hear. You know, I always learn from other moms like you, like, oh, you did that. Okay, now let me figure out how to do that. That's a possibility. Let me do that. So with you going, let's say, to Target or the zoo,
sure,
what does that look like? How does getting out of the house look like?
I'm just thinking about the anxiety. We have kind of perfected it down to an art, thankfully. Mm-hmm. It looks like two people having to be in the car with Addie, at least one person driving and one person in the back seat at all times. That is because since Addie has a trach, if that trach were to get dislodged for any reason, she would die, basically, because she has, that's her airway. And in fact, we had an incident today where that happened, where her trach, I mean, we were, the nurse and I were in the kitchen and Addie was laying down. All of a sudden she was turning blue and her numbers were going down. And we had to go rescue her and it was a little crazy. So we always have to have someone sitting in the back seat.
Wow.
For that purpose. And she also requires suctioning. Like think of us, we clear our throats whenever we have something in it. She cannot do that. So she has to get like a little suction machine and it kind of sucks the little goobies out. And, so she can breathe clearly. So we have that. We have to take a ventilator and make sure it has enough batteries.
Oh wow.
That has scared me a couple times. We do have a car charger for it just in case. We have to take a tank of oxygen and usually I put an extra in the trunk if it's just a little trip here around town, just to be on the safe side. We have to take her suction machine, a diaper bag. The diaper bag consists of a special bag that has spare trachs in case her trach does get dislodged or something happens. It has all spare parts to the circuit in her trach. It's like it goes from the trach to the ventilator, basically. And then, of course, the diaper bag also has an AMBU bag, which is, you know, the little bag when they come, when you go to the hospital and they're trying to give someone breaths.
Yes, yes.
That's what it is. Yes. So we have to take one of those and, of course, all spare parts for her circuit as far as the main circuit itself. And so it's all of those things and usually medicines and milk if we're going to be, she has a special diet if we're going to be out during the day. So all of those things. And, of course, unloading it all takes us a while. It usually takes us like 5 to 10 minutes to unload her from the car and get all the cords the way we want them into her thing. So it's a little bit of a, it's like Tetris in her stroller. Yeah. It's like a little Tetris game. So it's a lot of work, but we're okay with it.
But I love that you're okay with it. It's like, yes, it's the get out of the house. Yes, I can do this. Yes, we can go to these amazing places. When you consider all of the equipment and with what happened today, how do you handle the emotional stress or pressure associated with that?
That's a great question. I turn to prayer a lot. What people don't know is that so many times I'm constantly just praying in my own head, just praying for different things. And that really helps me a lot. We also have become big fans of just a bath in this house, you know, just a good bath. we love essential oils in our house. So I get my stress away oil or my lavender oil. I get some bath salts, or I'll make like a homemade bath bomb and I will just soak.
Yes.
Sometimes that's what you need. Getting to spend time with friends also really helps. I have my essential oil friends and they live all over the country, but a lot of them live in Dallas, which is about 2 hours away. And if there is some kind of event that I know that Matthew can take care of Addie for me, he will be so sweet and will watch her so I can just get out and have a little girl's night. Mm-hmm. And that just refuels me.
Right.
I don't think I would be able to make it sanity-wise without getting out a little bit with my friends.
Right. And speaking of getting out, have y'all been able to find good caregivers? I mean, how does that look?
We really have. So Addie, for a long, long time, just had night nurses. And so we have two night nurses that come from 8 in the evening until 8 in the morning. And they watch Addie because, again, if her trach comes out or she needs suctioning, they need to be awake and ready to do that for her, which is the best. Because if you're a trach parent, you really need your sleep to be on your game.
Oh, and I can't imagine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so if you don't have night nursing, I don't even know how you do it, honestly. Recently, I just had a baby almost 2 months ago.
Yes, so exciting. Yes,
Mr. Lawson. So right before he was born, about a week before, we acquired a day nurse just because I knew that the transition with a newborn would be crazy. And so honestly, I initially wanted a day nurse for like a month, but we love her so much that I think we're going to keep her a lot longer because she is wonderful. She will sit on the floor and play with Addie. She acts like it's her own baby. And that's something that I could not just be more grateful for. I think God really placed such wonderful women to care for Addie. Mm. And I am just so blessed by their presence.
Well, first of all, congratulations on the brand new baby.
Thank you.
So exciting. How has how has it been seeing Addie as a big sister?
Oh, it's the best. Addie knows a lot more than she lets on. We've learned that recently because this year she's been doing school at home. And to know that she knows more than I thought, and I give her a lot of credit. It has just been incredible. She loves her brother so much. I like to lay him next to her and she will grab his hand or rub his tummy or his legs. And she will just look at him and smile and laugh.
So sweet.
She knows that that's her baby brother for sure. And their connection is just, I know it's going to be even better as they both get older.
Oh, but I can't imagine the gift of having her as a big sister.
Is a gift. It is a gift. And she definitely loves him a lot. I love seeing them together.
So on this side of it, now that you're years home, mm-hmm. if you were thinking about a mom who's listening back in the hospital in the early stages of a situation that may be similar, what would you say to that mom?
Take the time for self-care. Definitely. There is a long road ahead past hospital life. And hospital life in itself, it feels like a roller coaster that you're never going to get off. But eventually you do get off one way or another. And when you do, life may not be as easy as it is for a typical parent, unfortunately, especially if your child is medically fragile. As a mama, you just want to be by your child's bedside 24/7. And I was that way. I mean, I quit my job as a teacher to be by Addie's side. And I never wanted to leave her. I would cry when I would go home. And so I know if there's a mom listening, that I know exactly what you're going through. And in spite of it, I have to have self-care because if not,
you will not be able to function for your child. You will not be able to make sound decisions for your child. If you're married, your marriage will suffer if you don't, because you both need that time to decompress from the stresses of that kind of a life. And I think, I mean, for any mom, you know, when you become a new mom, it's almost like you lose a little bit of yourself because you give it to your children. And it's nice to get a little bit of yourself back, especially when you are in such stress. Getting out, even if it's down the road and you're getting a meal and just sitting down instead of getting it to go.
Right.
Or, you know, you're having a friend stop by the hospital to pick you up and take you to a movie. So take the time for self-care, whatever that means. And to me, self-care does not mean get a shower in, because that's a necessity.
Right. Right.
That's a necessity. Good and point. I think a lot of moms say, oh, well, you know, I'm doing good to just get a shower in. Honey, that's not self-care. That's just a necessity. Do something for you, even painting your nails or whatever makes you feel more human again.
Right.
Do it for sure.
Oh my gosh. You are just so amazing and so encouraging to listen to.
Thank you.
Which is why I was so fascinated by your Instagram account and everything you've been doing and sharing with the world. I mean, that's one thing. I so appreciate you sharing what you have with the rest of us. I could talk to you all night long, but I have three questions that I end every interview with, which is, are you sleeping? What has recently felt like a victory? And what has recently felt like a defeat?
Okay, great questions. I am sleeping because we have a great night nurse. We're doing pretty good with a special needs child and a newborn.
That's great.
Getting as much sleep as a newborn parent can. I want to say Mother's Day. It was such a victory to us. Just because my first one, Addie, was in the hospital and I had gifts from her, and then we went to lunch like without her. And this year, take my babies to church, which was so great. And Addie was dancing and singing the whole service. We went to Olive Garden for lunch. It was just such a stark difference from my very first one.
Wow.
So simple, but it meant the world to me. So that was a huge victory. Just to know how far she's come.
Right.
And a defeat for us is probably that, so we're in the middle of trying to acquire a special van for Addie. And there has been this realization that even though Addie has a special, it's like a special needs stroller, she's getting too big for it. Even though we just got it last year, she is growing like a weed. And before we got that special needs stroller, there were talks about a wheelchair for Addie, and I wasn't ready to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
I fought it pretty hard, which I can be stubborn at times, and I'm fully aware of it. But we held off on the wheelchair, and so now we're coming to this realization that she's getting too big for her stroller, and she will soon need a wheelchair, and that to me has felt like a defeat.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not any fault of hers or, you know, or ours. Right. And it's just when you're a special needs parent, you think of all of these things that your child's going to do and not do. And when the doctors say one thing and you're checking off the list of like, well, they did that.
Right.
And they did that. And they said we couldn't do it. We did it. And, and now we're getting to this point of this is something that we haven't been able to check off on our list. It feels like a low blow a little bit. It feels like a defeat. And there's so much more to Addie's story. I know that. And we, when the time comes for a wheelchair, she will rock it and it will likely be pink.
Oh, yes. Yes. Avi's is sparkly pink.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, sparkly. See, that's, I need to know that. Glitter. But when, you know, so I think that and knowing that we need a special needs van for her. I think that has felt like a little bit of a defeat. So, like I said, I know she'll rock it, but I won't lie and say that it doesn't hurt a little bit.
Right. No, I know. I was talking with a friend recently. I was holding AB and I was wheeling her chair with one hand, but I was holding her with the other in a doctor's appointment and I fell. And she fell with me and it was just kind of a really bad next. Everybody was fine, but it terrified her. And it was really hard to, you know, it was an hour and a half of kind of pretty much chaos. And I was by myself. And it just made me feel what you were saying, like, oh, wait a minute. This is something I will not be able to carry her anymore the way I was because I just fell. It's not safe. It occurred to me in that moment what I, you know, oh, yeah, she's 4 feet tall. You know, it was a realization, but I called a friend and she said, you know, the night I put the ramp on the house was so emotional.
Because
it was something she didn't want to do. She didn't want to do, she wouldn't do. And somehow when it came, now she loves it and she's so grateful for it. But it is one of those things. And so, yes, I can totally see your feelings about the wheelchair.
Yeah. Yeah. It's always nice when you get a mama that understands. You
know? Oh, yeah.
And that's why I love this podcast. Because it's like we all get each other. And that is something so unique that a lot of people don't understand. It's a club. Mm-hmm. You don't want to be a part of the special needs moms club, but it's a great club to be in.
It is. When you're in it, you go, oh, this is great. Yeah.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Gosh. Well, you are such a light. I absolutely adore you. I so appreciate you taking the time to share your story. And where can people find you?
They can find me on my blog, The Vintage Modern Wife, but I call it microblogging.
That's great.
Yeah, on Instagram and Facebook. So Facebook, you can look up The Vintage Modern Wife. And on Instagram, you can find me at Matthew's Bambina, and it's Matthew with one T. I update Instagram and Facebook every single day, just about. Instagram stories give us a little more room to tell more of our story. And find us on social media.
Yes. Everybody listening, go right now because you are going to fall even more in love. You really will. Thank you so much, Stephanie. I cannot tell you how excited I was to talk to you and how much I've enjoyed hearing every single thing. You are amazing.
Thank you so much.
One day I will get to meet you in person. But until then, I will be following your Instagram like a hawk.
Thank you so much for having me. I really had a blast. If you ever want to come to Texas, come to Waco. I'll take you to Magnolia. It'll be a blast.
Oh, that's you've sold me. That's all you had to say.
Right?
I'm there. That's awesome. Oh, thank you so much. And I hope I get to talk to you so soon.
Thanks. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, friends. If you are not following Stephanie already, I promise you, you'll want to. Her account is such a light, and everything she puts out into the world is just so honest and uplifting. And thank you, Stephanie, for your time. Now, the thing that I said stick around for at the beginning of this podcast is this. Stephanie mentioned briefly that they are in need of a van. Those vans are expensive, and so her husband and Stephanie have started a GoFundMe. And if you would like to support their amazing family, you can do that at www.gofundme.com/vanforaddie. Addie is A-D-D-I-E. So again, gofundme.com/vanforaddie. Thank you so much for being here, guys. If you want to find me, I'm on Instagram at Mary Susan McConnell, MarySusanMcc. O-N-N-E-L-L. And from there, you can hit the link tree and you can go down and find my Mama Bear shop, my blog, and of course this podcast. If you are enjoying this content, I would so appreciate it if you'd leave a rating or review if you have a few seconds. It helps with so many different things, or you can hit subscribe and you can be notified every single time a new episode comes out, which will not be too far from now. So thank you guys for being here, and I hope you have an amazing, amazing day.